I'm Curtis Bowers, and this is Agenda Weekly. Thank you so much for joining me again this week. I really appreciate it. I hope you've had a good week. Hope you're being successful in preparing your family and using your time wisely and making a difference right where you are. I wanted you to know today is the 100th episode of Agenda Weekly. 100 weeks ago today we started, and I wanted to thank you, those that are subscribers, for making that possible. Those that pay the $5 each month to fund us so we're able to do this full time and try to influence as many people as possible. I also wanted to encourage those of you that haven't been a member since the very beginning to go back and look through all the different episodes, 100 of them now, that have key information you need to know about. We try to make each episode timeless in that it's something you could learn from 5 years from now or 10 years from now. And I think if you flip back through the titles, you'll see a lot of episodes you might not have seen, but that you would be interested in watching. So please do that. I encourage you to and take advantage of just all that great information there. But thank you so much for our 100th anniversary, and we appreciate you very much. Today, we're going to be talking to Cleta Mitchell. She's a lawyer, a friend of President Trump's, and she has an organization that's working to create election integrity. And we'll talk about her guide here that she gives out for free and how to get that. But she is making a huge difference by helping you and me get organized right where we are at the local level to make sure our elections are free and fair. And I think you're going to learn a lot, but it's right now where the election is not too far away. We need to get involved and to make sure that our votes count. But again, thank you so much for watching. Cleta Mitchell, thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm really very honored to be with you and your audience.
Yes, well, I appreciate you greatly and all that you've done and are doing to make sure when we cast a vote, it goes to the right person, and then the votes are counted in such a way that every citizen had a voice and nobody else did, including the computers and things. But in starting, before we dig in too deep, give us a little bit of your background that led you to this point to be ready to do something like this.
Well, thank you, Curtis. I'm from Oklahoma. I practiced law for many, many years. I'm a graduate of the University of Oklahoma Law School. I served several years in the state legislature in Oklahoma and then practiced law in Oklahoma City. And then I moved to Washington. My family and I moved in 1992. So what's that, 30 years ago? Is that right? Yep. And I moved to Washington to run a small nonprofit legal foundation for term limits for members of Congress. And you may remember in the early 90s, there was a massive effort. Mm-hmm. And in fact, term limits proposals were put on the ballot in 23 states and were passed by the voters to limit the terms of their congressional delegations. And I was counsel for that movement, and then co-counsel in the case that went to the U.S. Supreme Court. And of course, the U.S. Supreme Court decided to disregard the millions and millions of votes cast by citizens of this country to impose term limits on their congressional delegations. And I was co-counsel in that case. And after that, we lost that case. If you want to read a wonderful you want to read what the 10th Amendment really means, read Clarence Thomas's dissent in the term limits case in 1995, Thornton versus U.S. term limits versus Thornton. He was we lost that case. Term limits was basically eliminated as a possibility for members of Congress other than through a constitutional amendment. And so after that, I started practicing law, and I practiced political law in Washington. And political law means election law, campaign finance law, lobbying and ethics. I always used to say it was the business, it's the business and regulation of politics and policy. And my elevator speech was that I was the consigliere to the vast right-wing conspiracy. I represented lots of conservative organizations, Republican candidates, members of Congress, U.S. senators, et cetera. And So I've done that for many years. I've been involved in the election law arena for many, many years. And so the day after the 2020 election, I got a call from Mark Meadows asking me if I would go to Georgia and just look at what was going on, what had happened in the 2020 election. And so I went to Georgia, and I'm happy to describe everything that happened. But the bottom line is that when it became known that I had been one of President Trump's lawyers in Georgia, the left came after me, came after my law firm where I had been for almost 20 years, and would have been 20 years last June, and really assaulted my law firm, saying if you don't calling our corporate clients, it was a big law firm, and big law firms have big corporate clients, and so they started this campaign of terror against our firm's clients and crashed our phones. And my firm and I agreed that I would leave, and but that's what they were threatening. They would threaten to basically crash our law firm if unless the firm fired me. So I didn't have an interest in seeing that happen. And so I left and was immediately hired by the Conservative Partnership Institute, founded by former United States Senator Jim DeMint. It is where Mark Meadows went after he left the President Trump as the chief of staff. And I'm now the senior legal fellow at the Conservative Partnership Institute, focused on election integrity. So while the left thought they'd canceled me, they're very upset and have been very upset to learn that I haven't gone quietly into the night, and now have the ability to spend full time working on something that I've been concerned about for many decades.
Yes, it's always a good sign of how successful you're being by who is attacking you. And I've noticed many things attacking you in the mainstream media. I go, that means she's doing a great job. And that means she's making a difference. So no, we appreciate that. Here's something, we'll talk more about this in a minute, but everybody, this is her Citizen's Guide to Building an Election Integrity Infrastructure. I'm just going to read a teeny bit from the introduction before we go into a little more detail in this, but
Okay.
we'll let you all know how to get a copy of this before we're done here, so that you can make a difference right where you are, because we all have to be involved or we're going to be in trouble here. But here's just a few sentences. The powers that be in America don't want citizens to discuss the 2020 election or to question the process that millions of Americans believe was less than fair. We are learning more each day about how ideological advocacy groups and Democratic Party operatives and lawyers descended upon courthouses across the nation, demanding and getting changes in the duly enacted state election laws, with judges rewriting the rules of the elections, in some cases, after voting had started. Last thing here, election integrity is an undertaking that requires engagement and involvement year-round, year in and year out. The guide provides the overview of the tools that are needed in order to create the permanent citizen engagement in the election process. That's what this is all about. That's what Cleta Mitchell is all about, making sure we never again sit on the sidelines and hope it all turns out okay, because the other side is so funded, so committed, so purposeful in wanting to finally get total control of elections where they do not have to worry about being reelected, where then there'll be no more Mr. Nice Guy when they get to that stage. So that's why this is so important. But talk about election integrity. What is it? Why it matters so much?
Well, I start with this basic fact. The Declaration of Independence says that governments derive their just powers from the consent of the governed. And then our Constitution sets forth the framework for how we as citizens give and withdraw our consent, and that's through elections. And so when we as citizens see our government doing things that we don't approve of, we withdraw our consent of those people who are inflicting those policies. And my view is that the left, and I've watched this for years, they want to put the elected an election process and people beyond our reach. They want to be able to manipulate the process to dictate the outcome so that they can inflict their policy agenda on an American people, whether we agree with their policy agenda or not. All you have to do is look at the polling data. People are not happy about the cost of living. They're not happy about the fact that that America was energy independent the day that Donald Trump left office. And now we are depleting. These people have depleted our strategic petroleum reserve to try to bring down energy prices just before an election. And yet they want us to be dependent on foreign countries for our energy. I mean, people don't support that. And so presumably then people go to the polls and the midterms and say, we don't like these policies. We're tossing you guys out and we're going to put different people in who pledge to do something other than what you guys are doing. And that's what happened in 1994 when people rose up and said no to Hillary Care. It's what happened in 2010 when people rose up and said no to Obamacare. And they want to make sure that doesn't happen again. They want to make sure. I mean, they just barely won the presidency. And Biden didn't win by a landslide. He won by a few votes in targeted places that delivered him the electoral votes of that state: Wisconsin, Georgia, Arizona, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Nevada. And they did that. They were able to do that through the help of nearly $500 million from Mark Zuckerberg and his wife, Priscilla Chan. Nearly $500 million. Can you imagine what the propaganda media would be saying if there were a conservative multi-billionaire who put in $500 million to manipulate the outcome of the election? Because it is what happened. So they were able to manipulate the outcome of the election. They didn't pick up seats in the House of Representatives. They were able to manipulate the Georgia Senate election so that now there's a 50-50 Senate, which and you would think that they had won by a landslide based on the policies that they've crammed down our throats for the last 2 years. We are a divided country politically.
That's right.
And they picked up no state legislatures. And even after Obama and Eric Holder had raised over nearly $400 million that they invested in state legislative races, the Democrats didn't pick up a single legislative chamber. In fact, they lost three legislative chambers. It's because they spent so much money in those inner cities and those states, those targeted states, to get the electoral vote, where there were already Democrats representing those communities. So both in the state legislatures and in Congress. So the reason election integrity matters is because our constitutional republic is at stake here. Our very constitutional framework is at stake. You will note that the left and the media, the propaganda media, Molly Hemingway says we can never talk to them about the media as media. We can't call them mainstream media. We have to say they're propagandists. And they refer to everything as a democracy. That's what the left wants, direct democracy. Our framers rejected that. But my basic view is that if we as conservatives, as patriots, as Christians, as people who love our country, if we don't get ourselves engaged and involved in the election process, and we're late to the party, but it's not gone yet, and we have to get involved if we're going to save our country. It's that important, I believe.
Absolutely. No, I think as the left has gotten more and more radical and their policies more and more radical, they know the American people don't want them. And so they have
That's
to
right.
corrupt the elections to have a chance of staying in power. And I've been studying the left for decades. I was raised in a family that was totally active in the 60s and 70s. But we see that as it keeps sliding, they realize, okay, this is a key piece of the puzzle. If we can have enough influence to corrupt elections, then we'll finally be able to finish the line, across the finish line into our radical, this America that we wouldn't even recognize. So talk about for a minute a little more about over the last decade or so, how they have gotten where they really are in control and have a lot of influence in adjusting and persuading the outcome of an election the way they want it to go?
Well, they've done it in several ways. Number one, I had estimated that they had perhaps invested from all these different left-wing foundations, from the Rockefeller Foundation, Ford Foundation, all these different foundations, and billionaires. And we always think of George Soros. Well, there are many more billionaires who are doing this. Pierre Omidyar is one of the key funders of this whole, what they call the Democracy Project. And he has put in, I'm guessing, he was a founder of eBay, so he's a multi-billionaire. And he has, I would wager he's invested about $1 billion of his own, of his money. And they've built, he created this thing called the Democracy Fund. It's like a venture capital fund for left-wing entities to get involved in the election system. So they've done it through money, vast sums of money, where they have created many, 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 many leftist entities that have, that play a role in some component of the election system. And so they've done it with money and with entities and with changing laws. And we have basically, as conservatives, been asleep as legislature after legislature has adopted, and in some cases it's been done through the ballot initiative process, like in Colorado, where they have moved more and more of the voting system and process away from supervision of voting at election polling locations, where we can observe, where the statutes all provide for citizen observation, and they've moved it to what? Voting by mail. I call this unprotected voting. And the problem is, when you move voting away from a polling place and in-person voting, there is no way, no way to ensure that the person, that the ballot that's received is from a legitimate, duly registered voter at an address and in a, who's registered in accordance with the state law. You cannot ensure that. And that's what happened in 2020 in spades. We saw it in state after state. And I'll just give you this one example. I think people would be shocked to know that the number of votes certified in the election, and pick a state, you know, just pick a state. The number of votes certified does not match the number of ballots or ballot images that were received and counted, and that does not match the records showing reflecting voter credits or who voted. Those three numbers ought to match. Yes. That's a really simple do the math proposition. The number of votes should match the number of ballots, should match the number of voters, and they don't. And there was one, there's a researcher, people can go look this up, this wonderful researcher out of Pennsylvania, Heather Honey, who started a project called Verity Vote. So her website is veritivote.us. And she has recorded, she's researched and validated that in Pennsylvania, there are 120,000 more votes that were shown, cast, and counted than there are ballots or voters in Pennsylvania.
But it was the freest and fairest election we've ever had in the history of voting.
Yeah, and if you don't believe it, just ask them. And in Michigan, it was 102,000. And so, you know, these are the kinds of things that citizens... Heather had never been involved in election research ever before. She is what she calls an open source investigator. That's her career. That's what she does. But she looks at, and I asked, what is open source investigation? It's where you take publicly available records and you do research. And so she has come up with all kinds of information that, you know, none of us have ever thought of. And so I just have to tell you, the left knows what it's doing. And I think the number one thing they've done over the past decade is, with all of these entities and all of their money, and now they've built up all of these this infrastructure on the left to support unsupervised, unprotected voting. And they've created companies and entities and nonprofits. And so I would say the number one challenge is that we're still having to vote by mail in a lot of states. Some states don't even have polling places anymore. Washington, Oregon, they don't have polling places anymore. Colorado is basically there. They've even moved it into Utah, places in California. And I promise you, any state that goes to all mail voting is lost to conservatives. You cannot win. We cannot win if that's if the changes are moved to more unsupervised voting. That's what happened in Maricopa County, Arizona, and it certainly happened all over the country. So that's a big part of what they have done over the last decade. The other thing they've done over the last decade is that they have fought vigorously, viciously against any kind of voter ID and voter validation, verification of identity. And the problem is that even as we fight for voter ID for in-person voting, unless we shrink dramatically the categories of eligibility for voting by mail, it won't matter. That's what happened in Georgia. Georgia had a very good voter ID law, but it only applied to in-person voting. And there was literally zero verification. There were 59 counties in Georgia where they did not have a single rejected signature. And that's a whole different story. But we're finding all these things. We know these things happen. And now what we've been doing for the last year, year and a half, is recruiting people to get involved, get engaged at the local level, and form state coalitions to communicate around the state. And we can talk about the different lanes that we outline in the handbook, in the Citizen's Guide. But that's, the left has been very, as you said, Curtis, very intentional about changing the way we vote so that they can manipulate, and political operatives, left-wing political operatives can manipulate and basically cheat the system. That's what they did in 2020. And we're finding that they've been doing it in certain places for a while, but they did it on a big scale in 2020.
Boy, did they ever. No, it was so clear. And it was so different than any election in my lifetime when they stopped the voting and all these different things started happening. You're like, what's going on here? Covering up the windows. And just, it was so obvious that there was corruption. And yet they keep just parroting, it's the freest and fairest election we have ever had. And anyone that doesn't agree with that is an insurrectionist, and domestic terrorist.
And election denier. That's their latest. We're election deniers. I mean, I've been called an election denier. Well, I don't deny that there was an election. I just deny that it was conducted in a lawful manner. And that's the big lie. That's what they say. That's the big lie. But the big lie is that it was the fairest, most secure election in history. That's the big lie.
That's right. Before we get into specific details more about what people can do to make a difference, just talk for a minute about the use and abuse of the federal government in the last year and a half or so by the Biden administration, Merrick Garland, and just different things with the FBI, things that have been going on that, again, makes us realize what you are doing, what we need to be doing with you is so important, because everything is really starting to change at a dramatic level.
Well, they are always, the left is always intent upon pushing the envelope, coming up with the next way to manipulate an election. And so what Biden did in March of 2021 was I'll give you one example. He issued an executive order that basically turns every federal agency into a voter registration agency. So, you know, they, under Bill Clinton, his first act as president was to push through the motor voter bill. So now when we go to the DMV, they ask us if we want to register to vote. And then people who go to the social services agencies for food stamps or welfare payments or certain social services, they have to be asked if they want to register to vote. And that has resulted in the bloating of our voter rolls, because at the same time that they did that, they made it much more difficult to remove people from the roles who had moved, died, or whatever. And so we have really bloated voter rolls. And so, you know, Biden took that based on a recommendation by a very far left organization, Demos, that published these studies of how the federal government can increase voter participation. Their idea of increasing voter participation is getting as many low information voters as possible on the voter rolls and to just manipulate their votes, their ballots, rather than letting people decide that they want to register, they volunteer to register, they decide whether or not they want to vote. And it's the job of the candidates and the campaigns to turn people out to vote, not the job of the election office. But now what we've seen is Biden has put the full power and funds of the federal government behind getting their targeted voters registered and taking money and giving it to left-wing groups to do voter education. And the person running that program is none other than Susan Rice out of the White House, using our tax dollars to gin up Democratic votes in the same way that the Zuckerberg money was used in 2020. But now then, oh, well, they don't need to worry about getting more private money because now they're going to use our tax dollars. So that's one of the things they've done. And the other thing that they've done, which I find it's just totally shocking to me, but they are using the power of the federal government, the FBI has become the muscle for the Democratic Party. That's really what they are. Yes. But they've been using, let me tell you what, they've been using the Justice Department from the day before Donald Trump was elected and every day when he was president and every day since. They've used the FBI. They've used U.S. Attorney's Office to go after the Trump Inaugural Committee. They went after the, I represented a super PAC that supported President Trump in 2016. I had two different, maybe three different U.S. Attorney's Office subpoenaing all of our documents and records. And now, fast forward in 2021 and 22, I have been subpoenaed by the Fulton County, Georgia grand jury, where a Democratic prosecutor got elected. And she, you know, after the phone call with President Trump and Brad Raffensperger, and I was one of the lawyers on the call, they've come after me. And she announced she's going to convene a grand jury and she's going to put people in jail. And as near as I testified before that grand jury a couple weeks ago, and because I had to, they subpoenaed me. And supposedly this was to investigate the phone call, and they didn't ask me questions about the phone call. They wanted to challenge me about our election contest, and that I was one of the lawyers as a volunteer putting together an election contest under Georgia state law. And they wanted to argue with me about that. We never had a judge appointed to hear the case. But that, it's like they wanted to try the case there in a very ham-handed way. But then, you know, I had to testify before the J6 committee. That thing is a complete travesty. It violates all these House rules. But of course, in the D.C. circuit, which Obama stacked when he was president, you can't get a fair trial in the District of Columbia or the D.C. circuit in federal court if you're a conservative or a Republican. The judiciary, we should all be very worried about the judiciary. But they've also now then, you know, they've convened a grand jury in the District of Columbia, federal grand jury, and they've issued hundreds of subpoenas. They've shown up at people's houses and seized their telephones, seized the laptops of people who, of lawyers, of Congress, members of Congress.
Yeah.
This is very frightening. They want to, basically, someone asked Biden after he gave that bizarre red speech, well, who did he think were the threats to the country, and give some examples. And he said people who want entitlement reform. Well, that's every Republican. That's the Republican Party platform. So they want to put every Republican in jail. How do you like that? That's what they want to do. Now, I'm not making light of this, and I'm not kidding. They would like to put us all in detention centers and, you know, make us renounce our belief about the 2020 election and make us renounce our belief our beliefs, period.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty scary time. We have to reclaim control of the elections because we've got to get these people out of office.
No, absolutely. It's classic Marxist strategy where you accuse your enemy of doing what you are doing and then just keep attacking them with at so many different fronts and on so many different issues. They're just always trying to defend themselves and can never come out offensively to attack them. But yeah, no, I think everyone's seen over the last 2, 3 years, everything is changing completely. It's like it's unrecognizable the country we grew up in and then where it is today. But I spend most of my time always reading their books, their articles, their speeches. That's why I've always, a man taught me that when I was young. He goes, "You want to understand the enemy, read their stuff. Don't read your stuff about their stuff. You read their stuff." And I've learned so much seeing their plans unfold, different lists of goals they had through the 70s, 80s, 90s, and how then they check them all off. And while we were thinking, "Oh, they're no threat to us. They can't do that. They're not very organized. They're not very powerful." And we're awakening. I guess the positive thing is, I think, and what do you think about this? I think more people have awakened in the last 2 years than in my entire lifetime.
Oh, I think so too. And Curtis, one of the things that people have really on our side, that conservatives have realized, one of the things that, see, I cut my political teeth as a Democrat. I was elected, I served in the legislature in Oklahoma as a Democrat. And it was only after I moved to Washington in the early 90s that I began to realize, wait a minute, the Democratic Party is really way different than I had understood it. It certainly was far more far to the left than anything I had understood. And so I ultimately, at 3 years after 2 years after I moved to Washington, I changed my registration to independent. I was an independent for many years until I moved to North Carolina, and then I registered as a Republican. Sometimes I think about going back as an independent because I'm really more of a conservative Christian
Yes.
than I am Republican, but I vote for the Republicans because they're the only ones on the ballot to defeat the left-wing crazies who are the Democrats. But I always have had difficulty getting conservatives to understand we need to pay attention to the political process. The left is all about process. Look at all the campaign finance laws. Look at all the disclosure laws. Look at all of the lobbying regulation, ethics laws, the election laws, all pushed by the left, all written by the left, all pushed through legislatures and Congress by the left. What is HR1? What has been HR1 every time when there's a Democrat Congress? It's a big process bill. It was a couple years ago, I mean back in 2007, it was complete change in the lobbying laws, in federal lobbying laws. In 2019 and 2021, HR1 is a complete overhaul of the federal election laws. I mean, that would outlaw voter ID and do all these terrible things. Fortunately, we're able to work hard and defeat those. My point is, the Democrats and their leftist allies are all about political process. And I've never been able to get conservatives to pay attention to the process issues. Whether it's campaign finance or any of these things, you couldn't get donors to give money to support fighting these people on these things. Now people finally realize on our side, oh my gosh, we better be engaged in this because they're rewriting the rules of political engagement. That's what they've done with all the election laws. So in that regard, I think we have awakened before it's too late. It's too late for what happened in 2020, but man, we better understand we didn't get to 2020 overnight. It's going to take us a while to unwind everything. And we've got huge battles on our hands in state legislatures and in the courts and at the election offices. But we have to be involved because they're there. And it's just like parents figuring out, wait a minute, we need to be at those school board meetings. We need to look at what they're doing to our kids. And Merrick Garland, what did he call them? Domestic terrorists. They're saying the same thing about citizens getting engaged in the election process. And we just have to be polite and be firm and smile and keep going. We
That's
can't
right.
let them intimidate us and make us leave.
No, we can't do that at all. So many interesting things you covered there. So now moving on to the Citizen's Guide and just how do people get a hold of it? And then what are some key things it talks about just to kind of whet their appetite for getting it? I encourage every single one of you watching this, you need to go to the website that's on the bottom of the screen, and she will tell you about it in a second, and get a copy of this. It's free. You can print it out. I would print out several copies to give to like-minded people that you know that care, and then they could make their own copies if they want to spread around at church, in their neighborhood, at work, and other places to make sure your county is doing things the right way. And that's our best chance of getting who we actually voted for in there. Because I'll tell you this, we know if we have a free and fair election in November, we will win in a landslide. Nobody
That's right.
is happy with what the other side is doing. Even most Democrats are not. They can see these people are unraveling the fabric of our country with open borders and fentanyl pumping in and killing our children and on it goes. 100 issues that they have purposely dropped the ball, they have purposefully ignored, so America will continue to collapse into their one world utopia. But talk about this a little bit, Cleta, of how to get it, and then some of the things that will encourage them about what they can do.
Well, I've been doing politics and law my whole career, and I realize that there are things that I know just from over decades of doing this work, both as a I've sort of been all in all phases, and I realized I needed to write that down, and I needed to make it simple and easy to understand for people to be able to take what they needed to do at the local level and state level in order to fight the left. And so I wrote this out, the Citizen's Guide to Building an Election Integrity Infrastructure. And it's not a project, it's an infrastructure, because we need people forming local task forces at their in their local levels. Who controls the voting process in your local area? Is it a clerk, a municipal clerk? Is it a county? Is it a board? Is it one person? Every state is different. But starting at the local level, remember, all voting takes place at the local level. So you start where you live. And then we outline, here are the lanes. One of our volunteers from North Carolina dubbed it the lanes for election integrity. And the first is attend the election boards and learn what's going on in your election office. Learn how it works. Become part of the apparatus. And between now and the election, we need every citizen who cares about the future of this country to become engaged either as a poll worker or as a poll watcher. Those are called different things in different states. Both the RNC and the DNC have signups. If somebody wants to be part of a Democratic poll watcher, there's a signup. But the RNC has that. But you need to get trained and be part of observing the election system and the election process. And we have no time to lose. Voting starts September 23rd in Virginia. And so you have all these extended voting times. And in order to have transparency and have observation, it takes a lot of volunteers. So we want people to, if they can, sign up to be election workers and get hired by the local unit of government that carries out the elections. They always say they're looking for people. But one of the things we're finding is that they're putting Democrats and, quote, unaffiliates in Republican slots. So we need people to sign up and become part of the election apparatus. And we need people to have oversight over the election machines and the technology. There's electronic poll books. What is the software that's used in your local elections? And we train people about that. And here are the tasks. And in addition, one of the things we've just released, in addition to the Citizen's Guide, is we have now have created the master class in election integrity. And we have 5 to 7 minute videos about how to form a task force, how to build a coalition, how to have citizen oversight of the technology, and how to oversee absentee ballots. We have national training that goes on. There's a national working group on understanding the role of the U.S. Postal Service in voting and elections, as our Deputy Director of Electionary Network, Ned Jones, who's a volunteer citizen researcher, he says the post office is now the biggest precinct in America. So we have videos. So go to our website, www.whoscounting.us, whoscounting.us, and you can download any and all of the videos. You can download the Citizen's Guide. It's all free. We want millions of Americans to be studying the Citizen's Guide and taking your rightful place as a citizen engaged in overseeing the election process. And let me just say this, it is driving the left crazy. They hate that because they have had this to themselves for decades. And when they see conservatives coming in, what do? They call us names. And they say, what are you doing here? And they set up an FBI hotline, by the way. Merrick Garland set up a hotline a year ago for election officials to call in complaints and threats of election officials. So there was a hearing in August on threats to election officials. And I did talk with some Republican senators and had them ask, well, how many calls has this hotline had? And what are the cases that have been reported? And there have been about 1,100 calls nationwide in a year. And all but five of them were simply election officials who didn't like local citizens asking questions. And so it ended up there were five that were basically returned over to local law enforcement. And we tell people, don't get angry, don't yell, don't threaten. Doesn't matter that we say that, because they're just trying to intimidate people into not being engaged. But we have to be engaged. That's we right. are about saving our country. That's what this is about.
That's right. No, absolutely. Now, when they go to get their election guide and print that out, is there a way for them to support what you're doing? What's the best way if they want to help out financially? What's the best way to do that?
Well, that would be wonderful. They can go to our website, whoscounting.us, and enter your email. Put your email address in. And there used to be a donate button, but I don't know if it's still there, but I'm going to put it back up there because I don't know why it was taken down. You have to always be asking people to help you with financial support because, you know, it costs money to pay me and to pay for our website. And to we're doing all these trainings. We do training. And help people. We need support, and both financial, if you don't have time to volunteer, and we need people to volunteer if you possibly can. Become engaged as a citizen saving the elections. And it's all, like I say, it's all local. So the Conservative Partnership Institute is, you can always go to the cpi.org website and contribute there. Online, but I'm also going to make sure that donate button gets reactivated on our website, the whoscounting.us website. And we have a podcast. We don't have as many followers as you do, Curtis, and we're going to have to you're going to have to tell us how you have built your podcast. But I interview somebody once a week about some aspect of election integrity. And we just had our podcast this week was researched by a woman who's and the woman I mentioned earlier, Heather Honey. She's done all this research about the UOCAVA vote. Well, UOCAVA is the Uniformed and Overseas Citizens Voting Act. And we always think about, I've always said overseas military, because forever that was the primary source of overseas ballots. Well, that's not true anymore. And in 2020, she documented that 63% of the overseas voting was by civilians, non-military. And she also has documented all the vulnerabilities, because someone can just register to vote online. They don't have to provide an ID. They don't have to provide a social security, last four of their social security number. They don't have to provide a driver's license. They don't have to provide an address in the United States that they're with which they're affiliated. So anybody can just use this registration, make up a name, and then when they register, they can also use that to apply for an overseas ballot. They can give an address, but they don't have to live there. And they can ask for a ballot by email. So somebody down the street could just
Crazy.
pretend to be overseas, and their election office would never know. And 63% of those overseas ballots were civilian, non-military, and huge percentage. Like 85, 90% for Biden in 2020. And when I looked at that in 2020, I kept thinking, I can't believe the military would be voting for Biden. Turns out they weren't military. The military was a fraction of the overseas. And Heather also captured, because she's an investigator, someone in Canada who posted, "Here's how I committed election fraud in the US." And just showed that he was in Canada and he got a ballot and voted for Biden. How do you like that?
It's just crazy. No, it's the other side. They're masters of deceit. They love doing anything to just corrupt and destroy and subvert what's going on. So people, listen, go to the website, print out copies of the guide, donate if you're able, and then start getting a group in your area, three, four, five friends that go through this together. And see, okay, what can we do right where we are? Where sometimes we're really good at complaining, but not acting. We can't allow that anymore. We know our elections have been corrupted. We know they're going to double down this time because their policies are even less attractive to the American people than they were have been in the past. And
That's
so,
right.
but we have to do it or they will win because they are serious about keeping control of our wonderful country. Cleta, I thank you for what you're doing so much. I thank
Thank
you
you.
personally. I thank you as a father and for my children. I thank you as an American citizen. What you're doing is as important as anything going on in America to make sure the American people that are registered voters are able to select who is going to represent them in our government. Nothing is more fundamental than that. And when you lose that right, you are finished. And all we have to do is look in the 20th century to know what being finished means. We can look at the Soviet Union. We can look at Red China today. We can look at North Korea. We can look at places where there's not free and fair elections and we see, wow. The people aren't treated very well, are they? No, they're not. So, anyway, thank you so much, Cleta. I appreciate your time greatly.
Thank you so much for having me. I can't thank you enough, and I can't thank your audience enough for listening and watching. And I just hope everybody will get involved and come to our website, join one of our national trainings, and get started in your local group and get involved to save America. So thank you so much, Curtis.
You're welcome. Well, I hope you enjoyed all of that information she gave us. And again, that voter's guide, you need to get it, and you will see there's a lot of great ideas in there, things you can do to make a difference right where you are. And you need to do it. You need to schedule time to do it. Because if we're not involved like we should be, they will corrupt this election too. They are not going to hand over power to us without a fight. And they're preparing right now for that fight. So, anyway, I hope you're encouraged. Make sure you go to her website, download the Citizen's Guide, support, listen to her podcast. People that are making a difference, we need to get behind and we need to support in every way possible. It's the least we can do as our country is in the most pivotal time in its history. Our verse for this week is a verse we've had before about a year ago, but in case you didn't memorize it at that time or need to review it, it's a very powerful one. It's 2 Timothy 1:7. Here it is. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Don't be fearful. We're supposed to have a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And the truth gives us that. But until next week, God bless you.